Okay, let's go. Good evening, everybody. Today's topic is perhaps not entirely of my choosing, but it is Shomer Negiah. I don't really wish to be labeled as the rabbi that talks only about these issues, but these are also important issues, and if I can bring a little structure and clarity to your understanding, then it'll be a job well done. But we'll see what we do. The truth is that Shomer Negiah is not actually, I think, a particularly complicated halachic issue. It's very hot as an issue for individuals because obviously people like to touch other people. It's part of the human condition, and touching is good, and it feels nice. It releases things in your hormones and oxytocin and all kinds of stuff. Touching of all different kinds, not just obviously sexual or intimate touching, but touching is a thing which is a human part of the human race, and therefore it's difficult to understand sometimes how these halachas can apply without it really affecting us significantly. But I think there are ways to deal with this. There are practical issues and there are strategic issues, but I'm really here to give you the basic outline of the halacha and try and understand what the halacha says, and you can try and work out through speaking to your mentors, speaking to poskim, and speaking to the people who guide you, madrichot, etc., how you practically can put this into the best application that you can. I've split it into three issues, but I'm really happy to take questions as well. What time are we finishing this year? 10-2. Okay, so we have 45 minutes. I'll try and speak for about 35 minutes. Maybe we'll take some questions, but you can ask along the way. I've split it into three issues. Number one, what is the status of the halacha of Shomer Negiah? You hear all sorts of things. People say, oh, it's just a minhag. People want to say that, obviously, for all sorts of reasons. It's a drabanon, it's a doraisa, what is it? So let's get some clarity on that. Number two, what kind of touching does Shomer Negiah relate to? There are obviously different kinds of touch. Everything from a very intimate touch to someone punching you in the face, okay? They both involve negia of some issue, but what is the issue that we're talking about? And what about professional touching, clinical touching, obviously a doctor or a nurse or someone in therapy that is in physical therapy? What about handshaking, which is business touching? Does that fall under Shomer Negiah as well? And finally, the third issue which I want to talk about is which kind of people does it relate to? Family members, this is often a big question. Family members that you feel you always used to touch when you were little, or people who are Bali Tshuva have this question a lot. They always used to touch, you know, their cousins and kiss their uncles and things like that. How does this halacha relate? What about children? What age does it begin? At what age does one have to be careful about this? And also, in this day and age, also people ask about same gender touching. What happens if there are people who are homosexual? Do they have an issue of Shomer Negiah, not an issue of Shomer Negiah? I'll touch on that a little bit, no pun intended. I'll touch on that at the end. I didn't mean I'll touch on that, but I will deal with that a little bit at the end because this is an issue that comes up, and people need a little bit of guidance on this as well. The first issue is the status of the halakha. There's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Ish. Ish. El kol she'er basaro lo tikrevu. No person should get close to any she'er basaro, any relation, lotikru, they shouldn't become close to them, legalot erva, to reveal their erva, ani Hashem. So what is that pasuk talking about? And then later on, when it says a little bit later, the el isha benidet tumata, to a woman in her nida state, lotikrav, do not become close, legalot ervata, to reveal her erva. What are we talking about there? Because there are many psukim in these parashas, in Achrei Mos Kedoshim, that deal explicitly with not having sexual relations with people, with certain people. For example, obviously incest or adultery or homosexuality. I'm not here talking on homosexuality in broad terms. It is a very important topic that needs to be dealt with. It's not just a halachic topic. It's a societal topic. It's a hashkafic topic. It's a very personal topic in many areas. Tonight is not, do not expect a full discussion of that. I'm very happy to have one on another stage, but not tonight. So the Torah speaks explicitly about prohibited sexual relationships, and that is defined very clearly in halacha as a full sexual relationship. What does it mean to add do not become close? If you guys need sheets, there are some extras. I'd rather you have them and not be shy. just pass them back over there. So on a pshat level, meaning just in terms of the surface level of the psukim, this may just be another word for sexual relations. If you look in the Ibn Ezra in number 2, Loi Tikrabu, says the Ibn Ezra, kinui, this is another way of expressing, l'shchiva, of sleeping with somebody else. See, sleeping is obviously a euphemistic term of having a sexual relation. So on a pshat level, it may also just be another way of phrasing that people are not allowed to have full sexual relations with other people. But Chazal also saw it on a drash level, and you know that this is how all of halacha works. There's a pshat system, and there's a drash system, and the drash system is from which we get the halacha. Obviously, we don't take the Torah on a literal pshat level, halachically. It says, do not cook a kid in its mother's milk. It doesn't mean that on a halachic level. On a halachic level, it means don't eat meat and milk together, cook together, etc. That's a whole separate discussion as to how the Torah system of drash works. But Chazal clearly learned from this pasuk that it's not just about full sexual relations, it's about other close touching. Look at number 3. Tumata lo tikrav legalot ervata, says the pasuk, quotes this pasuk. Einli ela shelo yigaleh. I only know that you're not allowed to reveal the erva, meaning have full sexual relations. Minayin shelo tikrav. How do I know you can't get close? In other words, not just sexual relations, but even closeness short of that. Talmud Loma, the Torah says lo tikrav, meaning it adds, do not get close. Einli ela nida. I only know a nida bal tikrav that you can't get close to, a bal tigaleh that you can't have relations with. Minayin l'kol ha'arayot, so this is an important point. How do I know that with all arayot, anyone who is an erva to another person, bal tikravu, that you're not allowed to get close, ubal tigaleh, and you're not allowed to actually have a full sexual relation, Talmud Loma loy tikravu legalot. Meaning, this verse, this brisa, this sifra, seems to indicate very clearly that there are two Torah prohibitions. There is a Torah prohibition of having sexual relations with an erva. Someone is an erva to you. We'll talk about what that is soon. And also anything less than that, which is still closeness on some level. We'll define what that is, that intimacy. An erva is very straightforward. Who are people who are erva to others? So incestual relationships, obviously mothers and sons and fathers and daughters and brothers and sisters. Although we'll see that in those relationships, they're dafka so close that there's almost never any kind of, hopefully, sexual connotation, and therefore, dafka, there won't be an issue of shomenagia, because no one expects there to be anything sexual between a father and a daughter, a mother and a son, and therefore we'll see that that is less of an issue. But other erevas also exist, brothers-in-law, sister-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law. These are all people who are arayot, for which there will be clearly an issue of lo tikravu, what we call shomenagia. And not just that, but a nida. Any man is not allowed to touch a woman who is a nida because she's also an erva. And now, back in the day when people used to only become nida, really, well, they used to become nida when they became nida, but they used to go to the mikvah as well. The mikvah was standard for people whether they were married or not, because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash they had korbanos, and they had to actually go to the mikvah frequently to become tahor for all sorts of reasons. Therefore, nida was not as pervasive. But today already, for the last how many thousands of years, single women do not go to the mikveh, and therefore all single women from the age at which they start to get their period, whatever that is, 11, 12, 13, even younger sometimes, they are always nida until they get married and they go to the mikveh. Therefore, every single woman is going to be a nida in terms of an erva in this sense to every other man, and therefore the issue of loisikavu is going to apply because there's an erva relationship between them. Just like she wouldn't be allowed to have a full sexual relation with that person, leaving aside the issue of the fact that they're not married, just a nida alone would be part of that. So too, they're not going to be able to have this loisikravu relationship. We'll see, define what that is. And therefore, the Chazal seems to learn that out here from number 3. Elsewhere, there are other sources that would indicate that this is also Doraisa. Look at number 4. Eze siag, what is a fence? She asked the Torah ledivarea. The Torah sometimes makes a siag for itself. You know what I mean by a siag? A fence for itself. You're normally used to thinking that the rabbinic mitzvah is a fence for the Torah, right? For example, give me an example of rabbinic mitzvah which is a fence. Muktzah is a perfect example. Or chicken being fleshik is a perfect example. But actually there are a number of situations where the Torah itself has a Torah mitzvah which is a fence for another Torah mitzvah. And this is an example. Looking here at number 4. Ezit siyad she'as the Torah devarea, harihu omer al el-isha benida, benidat matah lo tikrav. You might have thought you could hug and kiss someone who is an erva, and even v'yidaber imad dvarim b'teilim, and flirt with an erva. Interesting. meaning the Torah says you can't have full sex relations with a woman who's an Erva, a man who's an Erva. Maybe you can hug them and kiss them and flirt with them. Tamad loyma loy tikrav. Yochel tiyashon imo bevagadeh. Maybe you could sleep in a bed with them. Alamit, so with your clothes on. It says, no, loy tikrav. All of these things are intimate. They don't involve full sexual relations, but they're intimate. And anything which is an intimate between an Erva and another person, an Erva, is a siag, is a fence that the Torah makes for itself. You see this in other situations as well. For example, it says you cannot eat chometz on Pesach, and eating chometz is an issakoreis. So it also says that you cannot own chometz on Pesach, which is also an issadoraisa, it's also an issatera, which is a lav, which is not koreis, in order to build a fence around the koreis. You see this also with avodah zorah. You're not allowed to make statues for avodah zorah. That's an issakoreis. You're also not allowed to make statues, 3D statues, even for aesthetic purposes, for art. That's nothing to do with avodah zorah, but it's still a Torah prohibition in order to build a fence around the avodah zorah. So here too, you see an example of a Torah prohibition of shomer negiah in order to build a fence around the mitzvah of the issa rather of full sex relations, which would be a koreis. There are other gemaras which do seem to indicate that the shomer negiah is more of a rabbinic fence, okay? And we'll see that that's reflected in the halacha as well. But the fact of the Rishonim that we're going to see right now is Rav Rishonim holds that shomer negiah is indeed a doraisa and is a fence around the inner fence of the inner mitzvah, the issa of the koreis of the full sexual relations. Have a look in the Rambam now in number 6, and you'll see how that works. The Rambam paskens clearly, HaMitzvah HaShin Nun Gimel, mitzvah number 353, He Sheziranu Mikarov LeAchat Mikol Elo HaArayos. We are not allowed, he says, it's one of the mitzvahs, one of the Tariyag mitzvahs. You're not allowed to get close to any of the Arayos, Afilu Belo Bia, even if a person doesn't have full sexual relations with them. Kugoyin, he gives examples, Chibuk, hugging, Meshika, kissing, V'Hadom Elahem, or anything like that. Mipulot HaZenut, anything that is sexual in nature. And he's already opening a door here to something we're going to discuss in a few minutes, which is what if you're touching someone in a completely non-sexual way or a non-intimate way? It sounds from the Rambam that that's not going to be this Isur, certainly not an Issa Doraisa. For who Amri Yisaleh Ba'atarami is there, Ish, he brings the pot. Ish is a kol sha'ar b'taro, lo tikrivu l'galat erva, ki'ilu yomar, as if it said to you, says the Rambam, lo tikrivu mehem kiruv, Yavi legalot erva. Don't touch anyone or come close to anyone in a way which is likely to, or possible to, or lead to, or usually or could lead to a full sexual relationship. And people normally, before they have a full sexual relationship, touch each other in some way first, because that is the thing that the Torah is prohibiting. Amaru v'nichrusa hanfashas ha'isos, mal talmud loma lefishenem aloy sikrivu yochel havechayim koreis ala krevi. You might think you're chayiv koreis just for the shomer negiah. There's no. Talmud Lama ha'oisos, only people who actually have the full sexual relationship are chayav koreis, the law ha'karovos, or karovos, not people who just do the touching. So it comes out from the Rambam clearly, and he passes this in other places, that shomer negiah is an issa doraita. Okay? Full sexual relations is an issa doraita plus koreis, but the shomer negiah is an issa doraita. The Ramban, I'm not doing the whole thing now in number 7, disagrees. The Ramban holds that it's either an issa drabanan, or he holds it's a kind of lower level of doraisa, as a kind of cheti shir. I'm not getting into that now, it's quite complicated. Cheti shir, sometimes, for example, you can have, the Torah says not to eat pork. Okay? So what is the shir? What is the amount of pork that if you ate it, you are going to get punished in the Beis Din, when we used to punish people for breaking the Torah? What is the shir? What is the amount? Guess? Kazayit. Good guess, because it's usually kazayit, right? But what happens if a person has a tiny little bit of pork? It's less than a kazayit. They won't get malchus in Beis Din, but is that still an issa Torah? Yes, it is. It's what's called a cheti shir. It's not the full shir, but it's a little bit of the shir, and that's also a doraisa. Says the Ramban, it could be that that's what shomer negiah is. Shomer negiah is almost like a cheti shir on a qualitative level of a full sexual relationship. It's like one little bit of that, and therefore it's osur. So whether it's drabonon, or whether it's a cheti shir, according to Ramban, or whether it's doraisa, which is roiv rishonim like the Rambam, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch passage like the Rambam, there's no question that the shomer negiah is learned from this pasuk. Yeah, two questions. Yeah.
When you say shomer negiah, you're talking about sexual touching with mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. I am. And we'll clarify that soon, yes.
The shomer negiah that's in this language is people who are nida.
Yes.
So it means that if a girl's not...
Meaning if a girl who wasn't nida, there wouldn't be an issue here of Shomei Negiah on a Doraisa level because she's not an Erva, correct? Okay, but that's not so relevant today because people don't go to the mikveh anymore. Okay, so there's a separate issue that there's a Gezeirah Rabbanon that women are not allowed to go to the mikveh today because there is no, single women, because there is no reason to go to the mikveh today other than to get rid of the Issur of Nida, and there's no reason people would want to do that unless they intend to sleep with somebody. And therefore, Chazal clearly made a Gezeirah that since there's no Taharas today, we're not going to the Beit HaMikdash, we're not eating Kodshim, we don't have women eating Truma like we used to have, so there's no reason for mikveh today. Oh, what did they do back in the day when women used to go to the mikveh? Okay, so I don't know exactly. We'll have to worry about that when the Beit HaMikdash is built, and we'll have to work out some system of allowing mikveh without letting it get out of hand. But thankfully, we don't have to worry about that right tonight. Okay. What do you mean if you just converted to... Oh, you're a single... good question. Oh, that's, okay, nice question, Talmudic question. You're a single woman who just converted to Judaism, and therefore you're not in Nida, okay, for a few days, weeks, whatever it is, a week, two. And you're saying, technically speaking, there's no Doraita of Shomei Negiah with such a person. Okay, I hear that. Maybe there is such a thing. There would still be a prohibition of her having a full sexual relationship with somebody because you're not allowed to sleep with someone until you're married to them. That's another issue in the Torah. That's a separate thing. So you want to argue there won't be Shomei Negiah for that little window. Maybe there may still be an Issur Rabbanon, I think quite clearly, because in an Issur Rabbanon they said Loi Plug. They said it applies to everybody. Okay, when it comes to Issur Rabbanon, the rabbis didn't usually say yes to this and not to that, and yes to this. For example, you know, we don't have a system where we turn around and say, well, I don't feel attracted to you, so there's no Shomei Negiah issue, right? Because, you know, you're really ugly, and therefore I don't find guys like you attractive so I can touch you. We don't say that, okay? And therefore there's no question in my mind that there will be a halachic issue with a girl who just converted. But the minute she becomes a nida, then it's all irrelevant anyway. So in all practical terms, it's not ready. And I would hope that the minute that someone converts, the first thing they want to do is not that. Otherwise, I think someone has to speak to the Beis Din and say, hello, you know, I wonder if this person really has internalized what's going on with becoming Jewish. Okay? Yes.
So both the man and the woman,
if they have full sexual relations, absolutely. With an erva. Meaning with someone who's already married or with a woman who's a nida, etc. Absolutely. It's across the board. It's, you know, egalitarian in that sense. Okay?
If they're not an Erva, they're not.
If they're not an Erva, then there's no different relationships. You have to read Parshas. Parshas Kedosh and Parshas Achremos. Some relationships are prohibited, but they're not technically an Erva. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. That relationship is a prohibited Torah relationship, but that's not an Erva. It's a different kind of prohibition. Right?
So two single teenagers where the woman is a Nida is Erva.
No question about it. That's absolutely agreed upon by everybody, and that's an Issur Doraisa according to everybody if they were to sleep with each other. Shomei Negiah, the Rambam would say, would be an Issur Doraisa, but not Kari. Okay? Yeah.
And otherwise it's tricky, but why would there be such a big difference in
a woman and a woman Negiah,
that if both of them
meet to
something
that's not Kari? Why do you say that? Because if the woman was not a Nida and they slept with each other, that wouldn't be a Chi of Kari. That would be an Issur Doraisa, sleeping with another woman you're not married to, but it wouldn't be a Chi of Kari. No, if the woman is sleeping with somebody that you're not married to is not an Issur Kares, if the person is not a Nida. Today, it is, because the person's always a Nida. Okay? That's the relevant issue today. But in theory, if the person were to go to the mikveh, which is not allowed, there's a famous story with the Chazon Ish. I've forgotten about the story, but I just remembered it now. The Chazon Ish had a guy that came up to him and said to him, look, I'm feeling terrible. Things got out of hand. There was this girl, and we slept with each other. So the Chazon Ish was like, you know, this is a terrible thing, and but you know something, you can't let it hold you back, you have to move on, you have to do tshuva, and he sat with him, and he helped him, and he said, and you have to understand what you need to do tshuva for, and you need to do tshuva because she's a nidda, and it's kares, and you can do tshuva for kares, and the guy said, oh no, rabbi, there's no kares. So he says, what do you mean there's no kares? We made sure that she went to the mikveh first. So then the Chazon Ish says, I'm not dealing with you anymore. Threw him out, so not dealing with you anymore. If things get out of hand, you make a mistake. Everybody does things in life that they regret. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody needs to do tshuva. Some people make big mistakes. But if you use the halachic system to abuse it, to justify your own... That's much harder to do tshuva for. Much harder. Because then you've abused the system itself, and how are you going to do tshuva? So the Rambam says, somebody who says, I'll do an aveira and then I'll do tshuva... It's much harder to do tshuva, because then they have to do tshuva on abusing tshuva, which is really hard to do, because you've abused tshuva, so how are you going to do tshuva? That's really hard to do. So going to the mikveh, it takes away problem A, but it introduces problem B, which may be even be a bigger problem, even though technically it's not the Kareis problem. Anyway, Shulchan Aruch, passage number 8. There's lots to talk about. Haba al achad min ha'arayos derech evarim. If a person connects with an erva, derech evarim, meaning they touch their body, they don't have full sexual relations with them. Or shechavag v'nashag v'nene bekir v'bosa. Look at these words. They hug them or they kiss them and they enjoyed the touching, meaning it's intimate. There's an intimacy there. There's a sexual nature. Harizeh lokeh. Lokeh means that there is an issa doraita. Okay? Malchus. This is a doraita. The Chalkis v'choikik there brings the Rambam shita that it's an issa drabonon, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's an issa doraita. And according to the Ramah, and this is quite harsh, but according to the Ramah, that any issa doraita of Arias, a person, strictly speaking, is Yaharig Ba'al Ya'avor, meaning that if they're forced to do it, they have to die rather than do it. Once you pass Kandori like a Shulchan Aruch, that Shomei Negiyah is an Issa Doraisa, so then it's going to be also Yaharig Ba'al Ya'avor, meaning a person technically should be prepared to die, God forbid, rather than do the Issa, because it's an Issa Arayah. It's not a Kareis, but it's still an Issa Arayah. It's like the Issurim of Avodah Zorah. A person would have to die rather than do them. And I'm not getting into the whole halakhas now, but you see a little bit how this is actually quite a high-level halakhic issue, which a person has to really think very carefully about. Yes?
Wait, so a person has to die rather than...
I'm not paskening any shilas. But according to the fact that the Shulchan Aruch clearly paskens that Shomei Negiyah is an Issa Doraisa. He says, loike, you get Malkus. And the Ramah, looking number 9, kol Issa avodas kachavim, v'gilu yorayas, v'shvichas tamim, any Issa, which is one of the big three. Yeah, there's the big three, Avodah Zorah, Shvichas Tamim, Gilui Arayos, okay? And there are the Kareis versions of them, which are the big, big books. And then there are the kind of second-tier Issa Doraisa versions of them, which are not Kareis, but they're still awesome in our Torah. He says, any of the big three, Afal Pisha Ein Bo Misa, even though there is no Chi of Misa, death penalty, Rak Lav Ba'alma, there's just a prohibition in the Torah, Tarik Lihareik, V'lo La'avor. Says the Ramah, you still have to die rather than commit those sins. And therefore, it would come out like that. Now, let me make this clear. This is talking about Shomei Negiyah, which is Derech Chiba, which is, in a way, which is intimate. And as I said to you before, you know, people make mistakes of all kinds, and there's always tshuva from everything. A person could do the most terrible thing in the world, there's always tshuva. Even if a person murders somebody, there's always tshuva from that as well. But nevertheless, I think you're getting a picture that the issue of Shomei Negiyah is a very significant issue on a scale of 1 to 10. And this is where the whole mixed dancing thing comes in. People say, oh, yeah, people make such a fuss about mixed dancing. Well, if they're really going to involve Shomei Negiyah issues and it's a Doraisa and it's Yaharig Val Yavor, then I understand why people make an issue about mixed dancing. And surely mixed dancing, to a large degree, is all about Derech Chiba, isn't it? It's not like going to the doctor, is it? I mean, if it wasn't, I suppose people wouldn't do it, would they? Who wants to go to the dentist and do mixed dancing at the same time? But the mixed dancing is all about Derech Chiba, and therefore there are clearly going to be major halakhic issues involved, which is why people turn it into a significant issue. And as I put in number 10 in the Ramah, it says, Ve'ein chiluk bein pnuyel in the sewer, it makes no difference whether she's single, whether she's married, Le'inyan is a nida. When it comes to nida, a woman who is a nida, and therefore from the age at which she is a nida, there clearly is an issue of Shomei Negiyah on a Doraisa level. According to the Rambam, according to Shulchan Aruch, there is a view which is Rabbanon, that's true, but the Rov Rishonim and Rov Achronim go with the Doraisa angle. So far, so good? Maybe not good. But so far, clear? Okay? Fine. Now, what type of touching is prohibited? So this is already interesting. Look at the Shach in number 11. Mikol Mokov says the Shach. The Shach is one of the Meforshim HaShulchan Aruch from the 17th century. He says, Da'af HaRambam, even the Rambam who holds the Shomei Negiyah is Doraita. Lo ka'ama erika sha'oite chibuk v'nishuk derech chibat bia. It's only when you're touching people derech chibat bia, meaning in a way which is sexual. It's only sexual touching that's an issue. Shehari matzino b'shach. Didn't we find in the Gemara it says b'kama duchti she'amoraim hayu mechabkim v'menashkim menashkim levenoteim v'achiyoteim? People kissing their daughters and sisters. You know, if there's no sexual issue, there's no problem. We see that all the time. People kiss their family. V'chein mashma lahedi b'mashe kosov a Rambam, and that's true when the Rambam says, kol ha'ba'al arayz, derech evarei moshe chabav v'nashek, derech taiva. It's derech taiva is the problem. And that's why Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a tshuva of a man who got the subway every morning to work, and he was pushed against women. And he says, I could get the subway 3 hours earlier, I could go to work at 5 a.m. in the morning when the subway is all empty, and I won't be pushed against any women. Or I can get the subway at 8 o'clock, and I get thrown up against the women. Is that a problem, that I get thrown up against the women? Look what Rav Moshe said. Number 12. Dvar halicha b'subvei. Okay? When it comes to going on the subway, uba basis. Bizman shehulchim bnei adam la'avodatam, when people are on their way to work, shenimtzayim sham anashim l'nashim, when women are there, d'chufim, they're pushed, zeh bazeh. You know what it's like on the subway. It's the same on the tube. You know, you're on the Northern Line, and you know, you're swinging against other people's arms. That's how it works. Shekasher, it's very difficult, mil'azim enegir, u'dechifah b'nashim. It's almost impossible not to be pushed against the opposite gender. Im muta'az lechet b'shalt eilasham. Are you allowed to take the subway at that time? Oh, it's chiyav doraisa, you know, shomin agir, it's yaharig ba'al yavor. Surely, you know, if it's yaharig ba'al yavor, you have to die rather than do it, so you have to get the subway 2 hours earlier rather than do it. Says Rav Moshe, no, because it's not the same thing. Hine mitzad anagir v'adachifa b'noshim az leka shum isur. There is no problem being pushed against a woman. Mishum de'ein ze derech taiva v'chiba. That's not derech taiva v'chiba. That's not in any way intimate, getting pushed against people on the subway. The chol isa negir ba'arayis to afla ha-rambam shesovet shehu b'lav, even though the Rambam holds it to doraisa, which is a Shulchan Aruch fact, the loy sikrivu of loy sikrivu doraisa, das kederech taiva. That's only if it's intimate and sexual. Kedem afurish b'dvar avresha, and he brings the payut there. Umash v'dibba loy derech taiva, that if it's not derech taiva, leka as isur midrabanan. There is no rabbinic level to this. It's either all or nothing. If it's derech taiva, then it's a doraisa, and if it's not derech taiva, then it's mutter. Then it's like, what is that? That is just touching someone in a way which is not an issur of shomer negir at all. Shelo hizkizeh. He doesn't mention any derabon. And then he quotes the shach, etc. And therefore he says to the guy, at the end of the day, if you get thrown against women and your normal meaning being thrown against women is just a pain and being shoved into somebody else's back is not derech taiva, then you don't have to worry about that. Of course, if the guy does feel that it's derech taiva to get thrown against women on the bus, then he better get the bus at 5 o'clock in the morning, because that's a problem. Okay? And therefore, there's no magic formula. People ask handshaking, which is the next shaila. Are you allowed to shake people's hands or not? So the most obvious answer to that is, well, you know, is it derech taiva or is it not derech taiva? If it's derech chiba, derech taiva, then what's the answer? No. Why would you be allowed to shake people's hands? Touching somebody else's hand could be an extremely sexual thing. You can measure the hormones racing around people's brains when they do it. On the other hand, touching somebody's hand could be a completely non-sexual thing. So what is it? And you try and work it out. And the reason it's very hard to give a blanket answer is because it really depends on the scenario. I know many shuls in England where I come from, more left-wing leaning shuls, United Synagogue shuls as they call them there, and they make a big thing. If the rabbi won't shake the women's hands, then they're not going to have him as a rabbi. We get offended if the rabbi has to shake the women's hands. And there are many choshev rabbonim that have paskened over the last 150 years, including many today in America, that you're allowed to shake a woman's hand. It's not derech taiva. And there are rabbis that shake women's hands. But does that mean it's never like there's a kind of din, that it's never derech taiva? Of course not. You have a 23-year-old youth rabbi and all the 19-year-old girls want to shake his hand. That's nice. Of course, it's not derech chiba because it's a handshake. Oh, come on. You know, I used to work in an office environment. I worked as a lawyer for many years. You're quite right that 95% of handshakes are not derech taiva. But 5% are. And there were lots of stuff going on in the office that started with a handshake, I can assure you. Okay? And therefore, there's no din about this. It depends on the circumstance. Rav Moshe said it's very hard to permit handshaking across the board. Number 13, L'hoshid yad le'isha kederech ha'noitin in sholem. Okay, b'hafka sham. Just to put a hand out to a woman in the way that people greet each other. Pashut she'osa. First of all, he says it's osa. After the pnuy, even to a non-married woman, because again, nida makes no difference. Shari hein nidot. But kashikain leishis, and all the more so to a married woman. He seems very clear that it's osa. In number 14, he's less clear. He says, "V'davah she'ra'ita she'yesh mekilim." You have seen that there are people who are lenient that shake hands. Af miyori Hashem, even from people, real yori Hashem. Liten yad le'isha, to put their hand out to a woman, because she moshita, when she hands, puts her hand out to her, to him, etc. Because at the end of the day, it's more offensive to people, obviously, not to shake their hand than to not put out your hand to shake theirs. Because you've seen people do this. Ulai sovrim de'ein ze derechiva. They must be assuming that the handshake is not derechiva, says Rav Moshe v'tayva. Aval lemaisa kashe lismocha osa. It's difficult to rely on this. He's not prepared to write down a blanket heter that you can shake hands for the reason that I said, that it really depends. As I said to you just before, there are many choshev rabbonim from the Haredi world as well that permit handshaking with women. Certainly in the German community, they allowed that, given the circumstances, if it's not derechiva. But if it is on either side, okay, then you have to think about what's going on in the other guy's head, okay? Then it is definitely a halachic problem, and you can't just turn around and say people will be offended. Because think about this. If it's not derechiva, then you don't need to get into who's going to get offended, because it's not derechiva. If it is derechiva, then the fact that they're going to get offended, does that give you a heter not to shake the hand? And the answer is it doesn't. There is no blanket heter that you're allowed to break a Torah mitzvah in order to not offend people. I had this experience myself once. Not with a handshaking. My position, by the way, on a personal level, I'm not passing for anyone else, is that my rabbonim has said, if a woman extends her hand, then you should shake her hand, and I shake her hand. Okay, that is my personal situation. That would clearly be the case in a business meeting. Okay, that might not be the case in a personal or social environment, which is quite different. You try to do all sorts of things to avoid a problem. I used to have this, you know, you walk into the office with, like, you know, stuff under your arm and then holding 5 cups of coffee, say, oh, hi, you know, hello. But it's not always possible to avoid it. You have to be inventive, okay? But you can't just break the Torah to avoid offending people. I had a situation once where one of my senior partners invited myself and my wife for dinner with a bunch of other people. This is a true story. Every word of the story is true. And we went to dinner. I said to him, look, you know, I won't be able to eat anything. He's not Jewish. Nobody was Jewish. I said, you know, he said, oh, no, we'll find something that you can eat. And we'll research it, my wife and I. He was one of these guys you couldn't say no to. And, of course, there's no internet. You know, so he's going to go to the library. He's going to look it all up. You know, Jews in the Encyclopedia Britannica, whatever it is. So, anyway, we got there on the night. And he said, oh, I researched it, and we made you a special meal, which you're able to eat. And he serves me this, like, trace. Chicken. He said, oh, you can't eat shellfish, you can't eat pork, but we made you chicken, and we made you this, and like, it's just totally, totally tray. Everything's tray. Doraisa. Mahadrin, men mahadrin tray. Okay? So I said to him, I'm looking at my wife, she's looking at me, I was like 24, 23, I just started my job. I said, look, you know, Jeremy, you know, it's called Jeremy, he really is called Jeremy. I'm really sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but I can't eat the food. What, can I eat the food? I can't eat the food, it's a doraita. Ah, but you're going to offend him? The whole sugi and brachos, you can't break the Torah to not offend people. That's not how it works. So I didn't eat it. I tried to change the subject. I looked at the wall and I saw there was a painting of a woman, a beautiful painting of a Victorian lady, you know, dressed all in silk and things like that. And I tried to change the subject and I said to her, him, oh, that's a really very interesting, beautiful picture. Who's that on the wall? And the young guy who was there with, you know, his wife is going, of course, he was going. What's the problem? He said, it's my mother. So I said, oh, that's nice. I said, you know, is she, you know, it's taken a long time ago, this painting, is she elderly? She goes, oh, no, she died today. I said, look, you could have cancelled the dinner party. And he said, oh, no, the show must go on. You know, we must, you know, we can't let these things get in our way. Oh. Anyway, I didn't lose my job. The irony is that he got fired before I did. But I didn't get fired, I left. Yeah. But anyway, that's the point is that you can't just say it's offensive and therefore I'm going to do it. There is, by the way, and this is a whole shirin of itself, if something really is an issur drabbanon, then there are circumstances when one can break that in order not to offend people. That's called kavod abrius. I'm not getting into that now. There are loads of interesting examples. You get stuck in the bathroom, you have no cut toilet paper on Shabbos. There's loads of examples for that. Not an issur doraita. You can't start with an issur doraita with offending people. So, handshaking, look, it depends who you ask, it depends on the scenario. Yes. Oh, good. So I was speaking about that with someone this afternoon. Okay, I was asked by a girl in Midrashet Rachel this afternoon, where I teach about Tshuva, that she's going back to her family. They're from South America. South Americans are very touchy people. Okay? And the question is, what happens if it's not just handshaking, it's a mwah, mwah, and all this kind of stuff? But it's not just the girls, it's the guys, and the guys, and the girls, and the girls, and the girls, and the guys, and the guys. Everyone's touching and hugging everybody. So what's going to be? So, you know, if it's Derech Chiba, then there's nothing to talk about. But she said, no, it's my uncle. Now, you'll see, uncles, in principle, there is an issue of Sherman Agir with uncles. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, look, one piece of advice is you can just be passive. You know, do the limp fish, like, you know. And they grab you, and, you know, like, what's that? Didn't work for you, the limp fish? Okay, fine. So, you could do that. But, look, you know, if in real terms, all the guys are kissing each other on the cheek and they're kissing the girls on the cheek, I don't think you'll find a poskim that says outright that it's mutter. I don't think so. Just like the handshaking, you won't find it's mutter. But in scenarios where you're passive and it's really not derech chibah and someone's kind of attacking you, then I don't think that's something, you don't need to kind of punch them back in the face. There comes a point when you have to, and this is actually a bigger question, there comes a point when you have to be kind of straight with people and you say, you know something? You hugged and kissed me when I was 9 years old. I'm now 19 years old and it's not the same. And if it's okay with you, I don't like, you know, I don't want to be hugged and kissed anymore. And it might be people, oh, I wonder what's happened to you. But once you get over that hurdle, then I had a question from a girl who was in a Fikei Torah many years ago. She said that this her friend of her grandparents always gives her a massive bear hug. He's a big bear of a guy, okay? And when she was like 5, that was great. And when she was 9, that was cute. And when she was 12, that was strange. And now she's 19, and it's like, yuck, what's going on there? And there's a point at which she has to say, you know something? Hands off. We don't touch. I like you. You like me. And we don't have to hug and kiss each other all the time. And you might want to make that statement. And sometimes you have to, it's a bit of a mysterious nefesh, I agree, because people call you, you know, frumi and this and that and the other. But sometimes that is what has to be done. Let's talk about a few other things because I can see time marching on. Clinical touching, medical examinations are clearly not derech chiba. They are permitted. If there is a same gender doctor available, then that is always preferable because it's sometimes uncomfortable. But according to the basic letter of the law, when it comes to this, there is no problem. A doctor is allowed to touch people. So too, if people are involved in a professional assistance in a care home for the elderly or disabled, are likely to be that as well. Nurses helping little old men up the steps and all that kind of stuff, that's going to be okay. There are grey areas. What if you're a therapist, you're a hydrotherapist, you want to get in a pool with a guy and do hydrotherapy with a guy in the pool? Like water therapy, you know, helping people to use their arms and legs and all that kind of stuff. You can see there's a bit of a difference there already. Therefore, you have to have a lot of seichel. There comes a point at which it veers into the area of derech chiba, at which a person has to say, this is definitely a shaila. It might depend on a few things. People work with disabled people, for example, who have a low mental age. So if you're working with a guy who is 19, but he has a mental age of 7, that might be a different shaila, because, and again, the halacha is often always stricter on the guy touching the girl and the girl touching the guy. I'm not saying girls are allowed to touch guys, but in a clinical situation, then if a woman is treating a man, there's less of a scenario that she's going to get carried away than a man do. Men get carried away fairly easily, yes.
What, not in a medical way, but let's say dealing with special needs, a lot of us don't deal with like medicine yet, but if you do, let's say, through an organization and you're taking care of somebody that's male or female, you're the opposite sex.
So look, if you're working in a clinical capacity, you're working as a helper, you're working as an assistant, as a trainee nurse, or as a something
like that. Let's say
you're a camp. So I think in a camp scenario, you have to assume that the heter and halacha is if you're in a profession. If you're in a camp madrecha situation, I'm not sure that you would call that a profession.
So let's say like you're a lifeguard in a camp.
Oh, lifeguard's a different thing.
Or not even.
Right.
I was just like, is that allowed? And he was not in like a sexual way, but he was okay, like, you know, he could take her arm, like, because she wanted it, not...
Well, because he was disabled in some way?
No,
he
she was disabled.
Oh, she was disabled. I understand that. That's definitely very questionable. It depends on what's going on in the heads of the people as much as anything. You have a disabled... Disabled people are perfectly as sexual as anybody else.
Well, like she's Down syndrome.
Okay, so it depends. The Down syndrome or the Down syndrome. There are Down syndrome people who get married.
Of course, but the question is...
It doesn't mean that automatically there's no derech chibah. If there's derech chibah,
yes,
I that is definite. I can't tell you. Then it's still also absolutely, absolutely. You have to be derech chibah on neither side, because otherwise you're just doing the issur of lifnei iver of causing somebody else to do an issur doraisa, which is also really not acceptable at all. And therefore, I can't pass on that shaila because I don't know the people. But I think it's definitely a situation where it may well be derech chibah. Let me give you another example. No, it doesn't mean you can never work with special needs. It depends. If you're a madricha and you're working with smaller children or men with a lower mental age or something like that, and you're doing X, Y, and Z and helping them up the stairs, that's one thing. If you're working with guys and you're all over each other and they're basically adolescents, that's another thing. There's no absolute yes or no. The question is, what are you doing and how does that affect? I'll tell you a shaila that I was asked. We've got 5 minutes, right? We've got 5 minutes or we're finished now? 5 minutes. So let me tell you an interesting shaila that I was asked. I was asked this shaila in New York just 6 months ago. A girl has just been admitted to a program in Columbia to do a PhD in physical therapy. I didn't even know you could do a PhD in physical therapy, but you can. You can do one at Columbia. It's Columbia, Ivy League. The only problem is this. She's also been admitted for one in Touro, which is nice, which is okay, but it's not Columbia. Okay? The difference is, in Touro, when it gets to all the kind of, the students all have to practice on each other. This week I'm rubbing your leg, next week I'm rubbing your arm, the week afterwards it's your tummy. You know, I'm doing all the stuff that physical therapists do. So in Touro, once they get to the touchy-feely bit, they split them into the same gender. Girl on a girl, guy on a guy. But in Colombia, they have a sheet saying, no, we won't do that. You have to learn how to do fat therapy on guys, just like you have to learn how to do therapy on girls.
Well, you do.
Well, first of all, I asked a qualified physical therapist who is not religious at all whether you do, and she said, you don't. But that's, and I don't know, because I'm not a physical therapist, but I asked people afterwards. So this girl said to me, should I turn down the place in Colombia because of the Sherman Aguirre issue and go for Touro, which will be okay, but it won't be the same, and my family will kill me, but, or should I go, because she knows that from girls do this, you know, so don't know if they ask any Shilas, but they go on this Colombia course. So I said to her, look, this is a major, major, major shaila. I'm not prepared to accept achrayas. If you want, I'll ask a posik in Yerushalayim. We're sitting in Coffee Bean, okay? Just around the corner from Stern, on like 3rd and 34th or something like that. Something like that. I said, I can email a rav in Israel that I know is fully aware of these issues, and he also went to an Ivy League, and he knows the situation well, and he'll respect the issues. Yes or no? I said, but you have to be prepared to accept the answer. She said, shall I email him? She said, yes. So I typed out an email. I showed it to her. I said, does this look like a fair representation of your shaila? She said, yes. So we pressed send. And we had a cup of coffee. 10 minutes later, there was a ding. I said, you want to see this? There was one word. There was one word on the tshuva. It said, Touro. Okay. I said, that's your answer. She was a bit kind of whatever. I said, you have to do with that what you want, you feel you have to do with that, but we made it clear at the beginning, this was a shaila and you've got to macabre it, whatever. She emailed me back very excitedly about, not very excitedly, she very, very unexcitedly about a week later saying, I've decided to go to Touro, I've dropped the place in Colombia. She emailed me back 2 weeks later after that saying, you're never going to guess what's happened. I got an email out of the blue from Hunter. Hunter she'd applied to, but been rejected from. And Hunter was her ideal course because she really wanted to go to Hunter because they do this, 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 and this. But she was rejected. She was on a wait list and she just got an email saying they've just opened up the wait list and she's the last one on the wait list and so she still won a place. So now she's going to Hunter, which is what she wanted. So nice, had a happy ending. But at the end of the day, it was a real, but he, what's that? They don't do the gender thing. Apparently it's like a shtick from Columbia that they have to like, and you don't really, I don't know, ask your physical therapist. Hairdressers. Is that a professional thing? Yeah. So, mi'ika hadin, you can go to a male hairdresser, although you start getting into slightly grey areas. It's not asur. If you can find a female hairdresser, What if he's gay? So, why is this always a hairdresser question? Come on, I there are hairdressers of all. There are hairdressers of all types in the world. At the end of the day, I'll deal with that question at the end. Once you get into the issue of massage and things like that, then already I think you're out of professional land. You're into more touchy-feely land. I'm going to talk about that at the end. I know all sorts of people who do all sorts of things. If they ask, let me ask you a question. If they asked the Shaila, I'd be very interested to hear, and maybe they did, and maybe they got an answer, and maybe they were told, it's fine, but maybe they didn't ask a Shaila, maybe they just did it, in which case, okay, people do stuff. Miri, what is your mum presumably only works on women? Because already there's a line between physical therapy and massage. I can see being a grey area, but let me just cause the last thing. I just want to do the last thing with you before we finish. There's a few other things. I'm not going to read the sources. I just want to talk about it. Close relatives. Father, son, mother, daughter, that kind of thing. The father and the daughter, the mother and the son, grandparents, grandchildren. There is no Issur of Shamin Negiyah at all on these people. That's brought down very clearly in Halacha, because there is no suggestion of any kind of sexual nature. However, brothers, sisters, aunts, where there is also an Issur of Erva, but also no sexual issue either. So there the halacha is a little bit different. There the halacha says that if brothers and sisters who are, if the sibling is a younger child, is like a kid, then that's fine. But if the sibling is an older sibling, then the halacha says that hugging and kissing in an affectionate way between brothers, adult brothers and sisters, he doesn't say it's asur. I mean, Shulchan Aruch does, but other portions say it's not. It says it's davar maguna. It's like inappropriate. And therefore, it really depends on the scenarios of Mordechai Willi has a tshuva where he says that it's not so straightforward to be hugging and kissing brothers and sisters very affectionately. Obviously, touching is fine, but hugging and kissing affectionately is a shaila. Under certain circumstances, you're allowed to be lenient, depending on how, you know, upset people are going to be about it. But it's just something to be aware of, that once you're adult already, it's a different kind of relationship. It's not a Shomini Gear issue in the same way as other people, but it's an issue. However, other relatives, which you could in theory marry, or you at least could have at least a sexual relationship with or feeling for, in-laws and brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, uncles and cousins, so there in principle there's a Shomini Gear problem. And then you just have to kind of work out whether it's derechiba or not derechiba. Generally speaking, like handshaking and stuff, you could say is not derechiba, but it could be derechiba. You know, I know people who married their cousins. I went to a wedding of one of my students, and she married her first cousin. You're going to go, ooh, but you can marry your first cousin. My wife asked the grandmother; she had no clue. She said, "Which side are you on?" She said, "Both." Right? That was a bit weird, right? Grandchildren, for two grandchildren. So, but just bear in mind, guys, if you tell me, hey, I'm not attracted to my cousins, that's ridiculous. It's a bit like saying, but I'm not attracted to those other guys either. But you still can't touch them and hug them, because the fact that you're not attracted to them is neither here nor there. We don't start saying levels of attraction as to whether it's going to be an Issur of Shomini Negiyah or not. I'm not saying that you're never allowed to touch your cousin. I'm saying that if there's any suggestion of anything which is derechiba, then that's a problem, just like it is with any other guy. And the fact that you don't have attraction for your cousin doesn't mean he doesn't feel the same way about you, and there is a potential derechiba issue with cousins. There's no question about it. Obviously, the younger the kid is, the less likely there is to be derechiba. Holding the hand, if I want to hold the hand of my four-year-old niece to walk her across the road, you can see that that's already different than if I want to hold the hand of my 19-year-old niece. You see the difference? Yeah, that's weird. Well, you're telling me, oh, it's my cousin, it's my uncle. The answer is, it's not always the same. Yes, a few questions. What, say that again? Okay, it may feel like they're your daughter, but at the end of the day, halakhically, you can marry your uncle. You may not want to, and I don't suggest you do. But that is not the same as, it's not the same, and if, you know, a handshake is one thing, but very strong affectionate hugging and kissing, there comes a point when you have to sit around and say, look, I'm not a little girl, and it makes me uncomfortable. I have this dance with some of my aunties all the time. They're like, oh, I would give you a hug, but I can't. And it's like, okay, funny, we've been saying that for the last 30 years, but it's okay, because that's the way we hug each other now. She kind of, oh, I can't hug you. Okay, fine. You know, it's great. Yeah.
I understand.
It may be a little bit different with non-Jewish cousins because it's not the same level of erva, okay? It might not be a difference if you were a male and they were female, okay, by the way. But it may be a little bit of a difference in your situation, and it's a shiloh to be addressed. And certainly, you know, a handshake or a touch here and there might not be the same level. I don't know how huggy and kissy you're meant to get with them, and you might not feel comfortable being totally huggy and kissy with them, but that's already a shiloh. That's a little bit different. If they were Jewish, I would be saying what I just said before. If they're not Jewish, then it may be a touch different. Again, the relationship between a woman and a non-Jewish man is maybe different to a Jewish man, but a relationship between a man and a non-Jewish woman is no different from with a Jewish woman. Yes? Okay, so as I said to you, I spoke to a posek, and he said that if you can really say it's not derech chibah, then maybe there's what to talk about. If you do this with a guy, do this with a guy. Like, you know, the French are all kissing each other everywhere, you know? That's what they do. But if it's a thing that teenagers just do with other teenagers, then...
But if you don't do it with, like it's family.
I understand. Family doesn't make it mutter. Family just raises the question whether it's derech chibah, and there may be an issue. There's two more things I wanted to say, and then, yes. Oh, good. So let's talk about that now for a second. Adoptive siblings and step-parents, it basically goes like this. There are different shitas in halacha, but according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and there are other lenient opinions, if the person was adopted at an age where they basically relate to this person entirely as a parent, they were adopted age one, or their parents remarried when they were a small child, and that is a parent as far as they're concerned, then we apply the same halachas as parents, for yichud and for negiah. But if somebody was, if your mother got remarried to a stepfather when you're 20 years old, then that stepfather is entirely unrelated to you. Adoptive siblings would be the same thing.
No, but let's say you were 18 and your parent adopted a child at, like, when you were 18.
A child aged one, two?
Yeah, one or two.
Okay, so then that's like a younger sibling. But, you know, but it's going to be the halachas of younger siblings. But at a certain age, they're not really your genetic relations anymore, and you could marry that person. But once they reach an age of, like, an adulthood, then you have to relate to them like someone you could marry. And people, by the way, marry the children of their step-parents. They do that. And you get these really strange situations where he's got a family of teenagers, she's got a family of teenagers, and all of a sudden they're just one big happy family of teenagers. Like, that's a recipe for an exciting household. The last thing I just want to say, and I'm sorry it's a bit after time, is the transgender thing you just asked. In principle, it's like this. With people who are homosexual with gay issues, so then we don't just say because you're not attracted to women, therefore you can touch women. Yeah, we don't say that. Because the assumption is, first of all, that the halachas of the loisikra will apply between the genders without, you know, without looking at how attracted you actually are to this person. Any more than saying, like, I don't find men with blonde hair attractive, so I'm going to touch them, but not men with dark hair. We don't start saying that. So guys can't touch girls if they're not attracted to girls, and girls can't touch guys if they're not attracted to guys. Can men touch each other if they're attracted to each other? Okay? So male homosexual relations is an arayot, and therefore Lois Tikrover will apply. Therefore they will be shown in a gear between guys if they're attracted to each other. Between girls it's maybe a separate shila. It's because lesbianism is not the same, and that's a much bigger conversation, although it is prohibited. It's not the same. It's not one of the arayas. Transgender is really going to depend on a lot of stuff that we haven't got time to talk about. Do we hold in halakha if a person has a gender reassignment operation that they become the other gender? The answer is most poskim hold that doesn't become the other gender. Although I must tell you, and I'll leave you with this thought, maybe I shouldn't leave you with this thought, but one of my students in Madrasa Rachel many years ago called up the head of Madrasa Rachel many years after she left the school, said she was a madrichah on a program, and she just discovered that the other co-madrichah that she dorms with used to be a guy. Okay? And she's she's now in the dorm with this guy, who's a girl, and she wants to know, is there an issue of, like, yichud? Is there an issue of, like, you know, anything, and how does that work? And the answer was quite complicated, which I'm not getting into now, but these are going to be issues which become more and more relevant in the world that we live in. And, okay, so come back next time and I'll give you the answer. I'm going to end there. Okay, go. Thanks.